Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I am so excited today. I am actually going to interview someone from the ancient alien TV show. It's like, wow, we're going to be talking to Namoli Bin, and we're going to talk about what he does and how it all comes together. And this is very exciting. There's no book attached to this, at least not yet. I feel one in the process, so maybe he can pick up on that and take it forward. But if you're interested in extraterrestrials at all, this is the show for you, because he's going to talk to us about an ancient civilization that a lot of people have forgotten about, and how their artifacts are transforming our world even today. So this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But, you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Namoli Bin acquired Namoli sacred carved figurines when engaged investigative tools honed in his mission as Daddy Justice to compile information, including the connection to the Dagon. Namoli Bin speaks and uses ancientalienstones.com to teach him these mystical mystical artifacts, inspiring others to connect, acquire, and activate their own stone. And you can check them out at the website, and that is ancientalienstones.com. And we have to ask them about this Daddy Justice thing. But welcome, Namoli Bin.
Well, thank you, Monique, for having us on the show. It's really exciting. We've been waiting to get on. We checked you out, and you're the real deal. So
we
want to be.
Okay, well, thank you for that endorsement. I appreciate it. Now, you and your mom, Shirley, you put together this basically foundation, right, that is dedicated to the Namoli. So tell us about that first, and then we'll backtrack and say we'll say more of whom they are. I'll get that out. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm nervous.
Well, thank you, but that's not exactly accurate. Anything to do with foundations, organizations, or anything to do with government, you're going to find I'm not involved with. But
okay. No,
we have the collection, and we put them into the museum. And I think you probably were looking at some of the materials that the museum put out. Mm-hmm. And we certainly allow them to utilize the stones. They put them in at first for a short exhibit, but left them in longer. And they had various events and featured them. So we certainly wanted to and allowed them to utilize the stones to benefit the museum, and that may be what you're picking up on.
Okay.
That you're referring to.
Okay, and this art collection is in the Maryland Museum? Tell us more about
that. Yeah, we had them for about 2 years. They were in the African Art Museum of Maryland, but as we'll discuss, at this point in time, they have they're no longer on exhibit. Well, a couple of them are still down there, and a few of the masks. Mm-hmm. But the other ones have been removed from the museum, and they're being made available, and they're being activated by shamans and healers and visual people who I call stone whisperers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to activate them on camera. And we're in development on a television program that we're working on. So, but that's a little bit, I'm getting ahead of myself, I think.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the basics. Who are the Nomali?
Yes, that's it. What are Nomali and who are Nomali? The Nomali stones are the what are our collection features. And Nomali stones are very unusual and mysterious figurines, carved figurines. And the story of Nomali, I think the best way to present it is to start out with yourself. We saw that you have decades of background. You are far advanced in the areas that you practice.
Mm-hmm.
And have been ahead of the curve for a long time. But we can bet dollars to donuts, as my dad used to say, that you have never even heard of Nomali.
I did
which
not.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? So when we looked around, my son, Quinn, is here with me, and he's the brains behind this operation and the guy who knows how to use a keyboard and a mouse. Anyway, so he went online and started a couple years ago, I'd say now, and did an outreach because we were working with Professor Kwakua Foyanza from Howard University, the art professor, African art professor for 37 years, retired. And we were working on a book, and he had asked us to reach out. And we reached out to try to identify anyone else who has known of Nomali in America, used Nomali in any traditional or emerging practices or modalities, if you will, and just anybody that would have information that they could contribute. And what my son found after putting the query out in front of literally millions of people through sites that would be specifically interested, such as those interested in healing shamans, those interested in ancient civilizations, which the stones have revealed information, potential information on, those interested in ancient alien theories, and across the board, those interested in crystals and healing stones.
Uh-huh.
And across the board, he found that no one had ever seen nor heard of the Nomali stone figurines, which was amazing. And then we went to the Gem Show and set up a booth, and the New York area one. And again, found there was no awareness of the Nomali stones. We went to the MUFON, International Mutual UFO Network, and anticipated that certainly amongst the people who were the aficionados for decades, that we would find those who had contact and knowledge on Nomali. But once again, not one individual. Even Bill Burns, who started the television show UFO Hunters years ago, which was before Ancient Aliens, neat guy. He was the keynote speaker. And he had never seen nor heard of the Nomali stones. So it was amazing. We found that there was nothing known about it. But on the other side of the enigma, if you will, they are known in 1855, back up to the 1400s. In the 1400s, they were first discovered by Portuguese sailors who sailed into the west coast of Africa. They're only found in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea on the west coast of Africa. And first in the 1400s, and then you're first published in 1855 by Thompson on Africa out of New York. And then again in the 1890s, there's mention of them in a couple of books. In 1917, Walter Edwin wrote about five pages about Nomali in his book. And then you fast forward to the 1950s. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with Thor Heyerdahl and the Kon-Tiki.
Right.
Thor Heyerdahl, you know, his primary message was that he revealed that the ancients saw the waters as thoroughfares and not as obstacles. And he was convinced that there was travel around the world long ago. But Thor Heyerdahl led the first expedition to Easter Island.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned the connection to Nomali in West Africa as being similar to small statues, again, very obscure and unknown, that were found in secret caves on Easter Island. You know, I'm sure, and your listeners know, of the large stones around the island.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also small figurines found in secret caves. And those figurines, he said, the Nomali were close resemblance of them, including having the holes in their heads for the ceremonial liquid. And then you go to the 1990, and there was one segment on a show called Unexplained Mysteries.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it. Then they just drop from sight. But it's not accidental. They've been purposefully suppressed, and for reasons varying from religious to cultural to social to scientific to political, have all conjoined to again, suppress the message of the Nomali. So we're still on what are Nomali. Well, they're statues. They're carved in soapstone and granite and other sometimes sedimentary stones.
Mm-hmm.
And they are only found in those three countries, and they're unlike other stones which are uncovered at temples or in grave sites. Nomali are found randomly buried in the jungle. They're uncovered by diamond mm-hmm. mining operations and farming and other times when they're clear a path in the bush. No one really knows who buried them. No one really can prove when they were buried.
Uh-huh.
Although we can talk about the Angelo Petoni and the dating of those. But before we do that, I want to back up, and now we know what the stones are. We know a little bit about their unknown and their known. But what do they represent? And we'll take it back a step further. The natives contend, and this is why we run the television show. You mentioned Ancient Aliens television show.
Mm-hmm.
The natives contend that long ago there were gods who lived in the heavens. And as a result of their misbehavior, they were forced to come to earth. Their entire part of the heaven was turned to stone and rained down upon the earth. And then these gods in stone or men in stone, we would relate it to similar to if Iron Man came down, you know, he would be viewed as a man in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived amongst the natives, and they blessed them with the stones, and they taught them valuable lessons. So the Nomali gods were these men in stone that rained down from the heavens.
Okay, so they were basically known as the Nomos?
No, the Nomali were the gods that were that the stones come out of. But the relation to the Nomos is what connects them. My son and I were doing research, and we came to look into the Dogon tribe.
Hmm.
And again, I think your listeners are probably familiar with the Dogon because they had identified that there was a Sirius B star long before science was able to identify it, before
mm-hmm.
we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that long ago, a ship came down an ark, descended in a whirlwind of thunder and fire and smoke. And out of that spaceship, if you will, the Nomos, gods, came out. And they're the ones who told them about the Sirius B star and the origin of mankind being in that area of space. Our research my son began to look into the Mali Empire, which Mali, for those who are not well-versed in West Africa, is conjoined to Sierra Leone and Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
And in during the time of the Mali Empire, in the 1300s, in that area, the Mali Empire encompassed not only Mali, but Guinea, Sierra Leone, and parts of Liberia. So we began to consider whether they had originally been the Nomos gods of Mali, and they were called the Nomos of Mali, and then eventually that became Nomali. The other connection was that the Nomos were amphibious gods, and the Nomali are often depicted, rendered, if you will, in artistic form, with crocodiles infused, as you'll see on our website. We have one with a crocodile on his back,
uh-huh.
and then one with one on his back in front, a chief stone. And that is indicative of the fact that the powers of the Nomali were infused into the chief in that case, and the Nomali were said to be connected to the crocodiles. And the reason why the natives say they revere the crocodiles is because they can live on land and water. So again, amphibious
mm-hmm.
being the key.
Okay. Wow. It is really quite fascinating. Folks, we're speaking with Ben Vanderhyde, affectionately known as Nomali Ben. You can check out the website, and that's ancientalienstones.com. And today he is bringing us this wonderful information about this mysterious and mystical stone that we are speaking about today. Ben, I mentioned that the stones are mysterious and they have a mystical healing power. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the natives would say that they were given to the medicine men, medicine women, the chiefs, the shamans, if you will, and they were utilized, and also some were given to individuals to be used for healing and other purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The stones are varied in design and varied in purpose. So we know that up until even modern times, the shamans still utilize the stones deep in the bush for spiritual and healing purposes for the entire village mm-hmm. and for individual families and for individuals. They also can be times when there will be a group of individuals that may be suffering from similar maladies that will be assembled into the village, and the shaman will carry out rituals using the stones to remedy those maladies.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the traditional beliefs are that they were infused with the gods, with the powers of the gods, the authentic Nomali. Now, there are many, many fakes because they have been long collected. They were collected, I should have mentioned, by the British royalty long ago. They're in museums, in Bronx Museum and others.
Mm-hmm.
But the natives would contend that no human carved the original ones, that they were made by the Nomali gods and given to the humans. Throughout history, by the native shamans, and are still utilized by the shamans, we also have witnessed the ones from our collection. Because it's our determination, it's better to have these out and active than it is to have them on museum shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been putting them into the hands of individuals, and my friend Jeff the Shaman has been actively using one for over a year and a half now in Florida, and we have seen that they have profound impact on the lives of those who acquire them. Now, sometimes that's healing, sometimes it's more maybe balance, sometimes it can be success.
So does it really like suit the need that the person who has brought it into their life, does it basically like read their energy and suit whatever need is there?
I can't define except to say that when a person comes in contact with a stone that seems to be vibrate on the same patterns, if you will, as they do, resonate on the same vibrational patterns, I think is a better way to say it.
Okay.
You can see the look in their whole glow, and something happens, and then you, at least my experiences, I get the feeling that that stone was destined to find that person.
Okay.
Okay. Now, other stones seem to be more universal, that that they are able to impact and are received by many people, whereas, again, some stones seem to be more directed into one individual. And when they pick up that, they can pick up a number of other stones and not much, and they pick that one up, and it's, wow, Shazam, as they used to say. Huh?
Okay. Well, you know, there historically, it's been noted that the earliest steel production that we supposedly are aware of happened back 4,000 years ago. But with these beautiful stones, they have a perfectly formed ball inside, and that ball is made of either chromium, steel, or both. So why is it that they think, or what research have you uncovered that either the aliens put this in, or the people at this time were so much more advanced, maybe even than we are today?
Yes, and the stones, I believe, are a tool that can help uncover these things. I'm not necessarily the individual who is versed in science, etc., enough to come up with those answers. I'm more the guy to find those individuals and to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're referring to is in the 1990s, Angelo Pittoni was responsible for excavation in Sierra Leone in search of diamonds. And so in his search, one of the things he did was he found a stone which looked similar to a dragon in the image of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And after he found that stone, he felt like he could hear it vibrating. And so he took it and he had it x-rayed. And there was a ball bearing inside, you could see with the x-ray. Now, there was no hole or anything that had been patched. The stone was intact as if as it was created over the millennia.
Mm-hmm.
And had been carved thereafter. He had the ball bearing extracted, and he had it analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it did have chromium in it. Now, chromium, of course, was not identified by modern man until 1761. It wasn't isolated until the 1790s. This particular stone, unlike most anomaly, was found in an area where he captured some of the strata and had it tested, carbon dated.
Mm-hmm.
And it carbon dated to 17,000 years old. So, yes, the question is, and there are just at least two schools of thought. One is that they were visited by Nomali gods who came from the sky and gifted this stone to the people. And as proof of that, and maybe as something for us to find now and to ask these questions, they inserted a chromium-laced ball bearing inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are those who believe that long before Egypt had pyramids. And this is a belief that is contended also and mentioned in Walter Edwin's book in 1917. This is something that the West African natives, in some cases, you have a sense of or a belief in, that long before Egypt had the pyramids, there were pyramids in West Africa and civilizations far advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some believe also that Atlantis was connected to West Africa. There are some who place that in that region.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the contention is that the pyramids built in Egypt were a result of pioneers sent from and settlers sent from West Africa to expand their empire and that the empire in West Africa was inevitably reabsorbed out back into the jungle.
Okay, so with these stones, with the ball in the middle of them, are they in each stone or are they just in certain stones? Because when I read about this, I was like, could that necessarily imply being pregnant, you know, like a female?
Well, I only know of one stone which had or had a ball bearing in it. There are numerous stones which are female and are show a pregnant female. There are some which we have one of right here that's a female pregnant with a baby on her back. And those are definitely for fertility and for protection of mother and children in childbirth and early childhood, infancy. Because, of course, the infant mortality rate was very high in the past and even today.
Yeah, unfortunately, it still is. I guess it depends on your socioeconomic status, but that's a whole different conversation. Earlier you had mentioned that.
There was no socioeconomic status in the bush of West Africa. It's survival for the most part.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that back then they depended, you know, on everybody. They were interdependent, so to speak, you know, in order for the tribe to thrive and move forward. And it's interesting how we've, over the millennia, have changed and readjusted.
Well, and that's some of the images of the Nomali image, stones will range. They will range from images of the Nomali gods. To images of humans with Nomali features, which is when a human is infused with the benefits and blessings of the Nomali, often a chief. And then there are some which are very humanistic in their rendering artistically. Those are specifically to teach. As one is an example we have is a mother who has a child and is feeding the child. And that is something that would be utilized to remind and to inspire the entire tribe to recognize the value and to put importance on protecting mothers and children. So, if you will, a social message that they're trying to spread that would potentially be at the shrine in the center of the village that people would see all the time and then would also be used to bless women who were pregnant and children in early child development.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier that some of the stones had holes in the head that was used for the ceremonial liquids. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we've seen a couple. One, the chief stone that has the crocodile on the front and back. And then the other one we have is a smaller one with a hole directly in the top of the head. And a small hole. I mean, even on the very large stone, it's only less than 2 inches, you know, an inch plus in width and less than an inch deep probably. And in that they were said to have put a ceremonial liquid that would somehow dispel into the entire crowd, into the entire region, if you will, and raise the consciousness or take people to a different level.
Like LSD.
Similar to probably a ayahuasca or an LSD, I would think. I can't say for sure, but it sure sounds along those lines.
Yeah.
Something to raise the consciousness of the entire tribe. And, the ceremonies that they would carry out could be only hours, but they can be days, too.
Yeah. Okay. It makes complete sense because their sense of timing is not like our sense of got to hurry up and get it done in 5 hours, so to speak. Yeah. You also talk about sky stones. So tell us about the sky stones and anomaly.
Well, another thing Angelo Petoni did, he was looking for diamonds. So he went to the chief, one of the chiefs, and he said, hey, you guys claim that the sky turned to stone and rain down with the Nomali gods. Part of the belief system is that within that part of the heavens, there were stars. And when the stars were part of this turning to stone and falling to heaven, or falling from heaven to the earth, the stars turned into diamond. And that's why they find Nomali stones near diamond deposits often. So Angelo Bottoni, knowing this, really wasn't that interested in Nomali. He was interested in diamond. But as a mechanism to find diamonds, he was looking for the Nomali as indicators, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he asked the chief, he said, if the sky turned to stone and fell down, then you must know where it fell. And the chief said, well, of course, we know where it fell. Mm-hmm. We know where some of it fell. And the shaman can take you there, because that would be in the purview of the shaman, of course. And so the shaman took him to the location, and he found on the surface the sky blue stone. And he then dug up down deeper and found many kilos placed, apparently by human hands, we would anticipate, mm-hmm. into the shape of a pyramid. And so, again, that raises the question, were there pyramids in West Africa prior to Egypt and East Africa?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is he had these sky stones, these blue stones, sent to the laboratories and analyzed. And they identified that they are 77% oxygen. But the most interesting is that the blue color is unidentifiable. To date, it is organic, but it is unidentifiable and possibly not of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The stones have never been found anywhere else. So, where do they come from? Are they, again, were they brought by... Did they come down from the skies, or were they made by an ancient civilization?
Mm-hmm. Or a combination of both?
Then we do not know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, that I remember.
Maybe that you don't remember. You know, you could be like tapping now into a past life. I mean, I feel it's amazing that your whole family is involved in this quest to bring this information out to the world and to have these stones available to the world. In fact, you basically say that everybody should have one, and you have some that are available. So tell us about that aspect of it. Why is it important?
First, when I was looking at my son here, and I'm thinking he might have been there long ago, and this is most exciting. It's not only most exciting that my family's involved, but that my son, you know, the next generation, picks up an interest and is excited as some of us were long ago in these type of matters and mysteries, enigmas, and opportunities to grow.
Yeah, and you never know when you're tapping back into a past life, if that, you know, if you can stretch that belief system. I mean, you just never know.
Yes. So our intention is to, we have 9 stones we're going to make available from the collection initially. And for at least most of them, we're looking for those who will be foremost in their area of expertise. We're certainly interested in anyone who is in the healing arts.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at those who would be able to use stones in any modality that they're involved in. And also scientific, those who would be able to evaluate them scientifically and come up with any information they could. Those who are interested in ancient alien, as I mentioned, or an ancient civilization that could glean something that might give an indication of something that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that, and the intention is then to follow that on film and to produce a reality television series, if you will, which follows the stones and reveals what we learn about them. Well, first, of course, the show will have a great opportunity, as you are today. You know, you and I have something in common that when we find something no one else knows about, we are compelled to get out there and try to to enlighten as many as possible.
Right.
And so the show is going to be able to reveal and reintroduce the Nomali and reactivate them and let people see what a great tool they are, a gift from God, and an opportunity to be blessed. So that part of the show is going to be great. But then I think one of the most exciting parts is then to follow them in today's world and the reactivation again, and follow the impact on individual lives across the board.
Okay. Now, what is the size and weight of these stumps?
Well, they start at a couple of inches tall, and most of them range between a couple of inches tall and 10 or 11 inches high. And they'll weigh anywhere from a couple ounces to, you know, pounds.
Okay, so they're not heavy.
Now, I do have one that weighs over 20 pounds. You know, very rare.
Okay, so if someone is interested in this, they should just basically contact you?
Yes. Yeah, they can contact me through the website or call me. My phone number's on there, ancientalienstones.com. We have some of the stones pictured there. And we have also a video from the exhibit at the museum.
Yes.
Which shows the number of the stones.
Yes, and a great little history behind that too, folks. So do check that out. It's about 50 minutes long, and you learn a lot in a short period of time. So definitely check that out. Ben, what is it that you want people to truly glean from the rediscovery, if you will, of these stones and the energy that they're presenting in today's world?
Well, if there was one thing I see that's lacking, it is an appreciation for the spiritual history of Africa and West Africa. There has been a demonization, if you will, and people have not been embracing the historic spiritual beliefs and the powers as they do, let's say, with Native Americans or with South Americans or Central Americans or everywhere in the world, Australians. We just haven't seemed to catch up. Now, of course, Egypt's different. People think Egypt is not part of Africa somehow. It's bizarre.
No, isn't that amazing?
But anyways, the fact that there are these blessings, there are gods that were very, very helpful to the people then and can be helpful to people now, particularly maybe those who are descendants and have disconnected completely from their ancestors and from the traditional beliefs. There may be some value to reconnecting. But, hey, everybody is welcome to, in my opinion, connect to any power source that God gives, and it's an open-door policy. And so I'm just excited to see them activated and get out there and bless people and rise from obscurity and suppression be all they can be, as they say.
Okay, so could people still go to these different regions in West Africa and dig for these stones? Do you think there's still a lot to be unearthed?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I would say this, that very few people are going to get out there. The connection I had was my friend Bill Diamonds, and Bill was the true-to-life character that was played by Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie Blood Diamonds.
Okay.
And Bill was a diamond smuggler, is why he initially went into West Africa. He was that kind of a character who just dropped himself in the jungle with a guide, and even though he knew it was dangerous, very few people got in and out alive. But he was that guy. He was the adventurer, and he came out with friends and diamonds. And then was there for decades and was very revered and had great connections deep in the bush. He also was an operative for the United States Intelligence Community, which is where we first made contact. And so Bill was one of the few people getting in and out of the bush then and even today. Sierra Leone is not on the tourist agenda. In fact, that's one of the reasons why your superstars in the world of discovery haven't done a lot of work on Nomal either. You're not going to find Giorgio going into Sierra Leone jungle. It's very dangerous, treacherous, and deadly. There's not going to be a tour guide at the airport taking you to roped off areas at the pyramids and then back out. You know, you're going to be in there, and there's no guarantee and there's no support.
Uh-huh.
As long as you lead with a smile, I think you'll do okay.
Okay.
And Bill did that, but in other words, I just don't think people are going to be in there roaming around looking for diamonds, although that is part of the show that we're working on, is the potential of having extreme adventurers go in and do that.
Well, it's so fascinating to me. And folks, if you're listening to us, I know that you find it fascinating too. The one thing that I didn't ask is that some of the figurines are half human and half animal, not just with an animal wrapped around them. What can you share with us about that?
Well, there are just there's different variations, and I can't say how much of it is the artist's rendition, or different regions, or different perhaps different Nomali, which were visiting different areas. But yes, when you say animalistic, in fact, the Nomali have very large eyes, and so sometimes they have images or. You could see them as potentially animalistic. The theory is that in some cases the Nomali are infused in with the humans. You can tell because the Nomali have very squatted legs. That's one of the things that distinguish them. Again, the large lips, the large eyes, which were said to be so powerful that you couldn't look into them.
Mm-hmm.
They were like looking into the sun. But I know that with the chief stone, when you have the crocodile infused, it is because they want the chief to have the attributes of the crocodile. But more than that, they want a chief to have everything from bravery, courage, to fairness, to equity, to truth, to honesty. But they want the chief to be connected, just like other parts of the world we see throughout history. There is a belief that the chiefs are more connected to the Nomali gods than others. And if they're not, then the entire civilization is going to suffer. So when, for instance, they're going to indoctrinate or enskin a new chief into tribe. Now, when we think of tribes, we might think of the TV shows where there's small tribes. Tribes could have 100,000 natives in them. So when they're going to enskin a new chief, for days or weeks before that, this stone would be mounted on a shrine. It had an indentation in the bottom, which would fit over a protrusion in the shrine. And the natives would line up in a procession. Again, thousands or tens of thousands would come up and bless the stone and ask for it to bless them. And they would... again, be asking for the Nomali gods to join with their new chief so that they could all benefit from the blessings, prosperities associated.
Okay. Well, it seems like the energy around the stones and the people that were using them was more of love and inclusion as opposed to separation and not wanting, I'm better than you. I you can't have this because you haven't reached a certain stature in life. They seem to be pretty much all-inclusive of everybody, based on what I gleaned from you.
Well, what we've seen is that no matter who... Now, there are people... Let me qualify this. There are people who, when they see the stones, they shy away, and they don't get close, and they automatically, it appears, have a determination, if you will. But of those people who are attracted and come up, and put their hands upon a stone, sit and meditate with a stone, use a stone for healing purposes, there has been only extremely positive healing balancing and peaceful results.
Well, I would love to see an experiment with the stones and healing to heal this world that we're living in today. I would really love to see that. So, folks, if you're truly interested in what we're talking about today and perhaps participating with Naomi Ben, I'll get that out, with his new project, do contact him. You can email him at ben@ancientalienstones.com. Now, Ben, before I let you go, I got to ask you one thing. What's Daddy Justice? Who is Daddy Justice?
I can cover that. But first, let me say this, that I'm very excited because obviously you have built a circle of advanced people over the years, and it's great that you are the one to introduce them to Nomali. It's very significant that the Nomali chose you and you chose the Nomali to put forward. Daddy Justice. Daddy Justice is a very unpopular mission that I've been on for many years, and It began as a cause primarily, well, I champion children. And initially I began championing children who were wrongfully losing their fathers because of bias in courts. At the same point in time, I then began championing for mothers who lost their children. Primarily that occurs when government agencies step in and steal children based on false accusations. So my work, in a nutshell, is based on exposing those who would use false accusations against individuals. It's so easy. I say to people, the difference between making it and not making it in life can be one contact with the government. That's my work. Now, because of my background, we have developed a mechanism of going after the individuals. We don't go after the system. We go after individuals, and when I say individuals, I mean a judge, lawyer, cop, politicians. An old friend of mine who was another operative in the intelligence community, W.D., shout out to his spirit, he's left planet, old timer. He told me long ago when I was entering into this battle, he said, Ben, if you run into people that are so powerful and so rich that you can't touch them, the only way to bring them down is through ridicule and embarrassment within their own circle of influence. So what we do is we do covert ops, we do overt ops, we do psych ops, and focusing on short videos that we release on the internet, been able to bring down a judge. Some of your viewers may be familiar with the work. We brought down, got Kelly Ballantyne knocked off the bench, and nailed a couple of other judges through judicial conduct investigations, at least tried to put some pressure on him. There's a cop that I did a series of stories over a period of time who liked to go out and beat people up. He's sitting in a prison cell over in the next county right now. We're happy to say very hard to get cops in jail, man. They belong in there, but it's so hard to get them in there. And we've nailed a number of attorneys. I did a 2 or 3 year series on a police department, SRPD, and John Fiorello. And it resulted in shutting down the police department, shut them down all the way. That was a good thing for the citizens down here. Now we're a lot freer. But primarily, I've been able to help children who were not going to be able to have their parents in their life continue, and they've been able to keep people out of prison who were innocent.
Okay, well, thank you very much for doing that work. And if your work could expand to help the poor babies that are in cages today on the border states, you got my support. I mean, I'm just horrified, you know, by what goes on. And even more horrified that, you know, the good citizens of the United States are basically supporting this because nothing has changed. But thank you. Thank you, Ben, for coming on today and talking to us about this great work that you're doing. With the Nomali, very important. And folks, again, if you want to contact him, check out his website. That's ben@ancientalienstones.com, or you can email him at ben@ancientalienstones.com. Ben, I appreciate it. Appreciate you. Thank you for your time. Audience, thank you for your time and your attention being with us today as we collectively get over it, discover something new. I'm truly honored and I appreciate your time and attention. And folks, when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call. Intuitive consultation, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.